The Valley of Spiders. Towards midday, the three pursuers came abruptly round a bend in the torrent bed upon the site of a very broad and spacious valley. The difficult and winding trench of pebbles along which they had tracked the fugitives for so long expanded to a broad slope, and with a common impulse the three men left the trail and rode to a little eminence set with olive-dun trees, and there halted the two others, as became them, a little behind the man with the silver-studded bridle. For a space they scanned the great expanse below them with eager eyes. It spread remoter and remoter, with only a few clusters of sere thorn bushes here and there, and the dim suggestions of some now waterless ravine to break its desolation of yellow grass. Its purple distances melted at last into the bluish slopes of the further hills, hills, it might be, of a greener kind, and above them, invisibly supported and seeming indeed to hang in the blue, were the snow-clad summits of mountains that grew larger and bolder to the northwestward as the sides of the valley drew together. And westward, the valley opened until a distant darkness under the sky told where the forests began. But the three men looked neither east nor west, but only steadfastly across the valley. The gaunt man with the scarred lip was the first to speak. "Nowhere," he said, with a sigh of disappointment in his voice, but after all, they had a full day's start. "They don't know we are after them," said the little man on the white horse. "She would know," said the leader bitterly, as if speaking to himself. "Even they can't go fast. They've got no beast but the mule, and all today the girl's foot has been bleeding." The man with the silver bridle flashed a quick intensity of rage on him. "Do you think I haven't seen that?" he snarled. "It helps, anyhow," whispered the little man to himself. The gaunt man with the scarred lip stared impassively. "They can't be over the valley," he said. "If we ride hard..." He glanced at the white horse and paused. "Curse all white horses," said the man with the silver bridle, and turned to scan the beast his curse included. The little man looked down between the melancholy ears of his steed. "I did my best," he said. The two others stared again across the valley for a space. The gaunt man passed the back of his hand across the scarred lip. "Come up," said the man who owned the silver bridle suddenly. The little man stared and jerked his rein, and the horse hoofs of the three made a multitudinous faint pattering upon the withered grass as they turned back towards the trail. They rode cautiously down the long slope before them, and so came through a waste of prickly, twisted bushes and strange dry shapes of horny branches that grew amongst the rocks into the levels below. And there the trail grew faint, for the soil was scanty, and the only herbage was this scorched dead straw that lay upon the ground. Still, by hard scanning, by leaning beside the horses' necks and pausing ever and again, even these white men could contrive to follow their prey. There were trodden places, bent and broken blades of the coarse grass, and ever and again the sufficient intimation of a footmark. And once the leader saw a brown smear of blood where the half-caste girl may have trod. And at that, under his breath, he cursed her for a fool. The gaunt man checked his leader's tracking, and the little man on the white horse rode behind a man lost in a dream. They rode one after another. The man with the silver bridle led the way, and they spoke never a word. After a time, it came to the little man on the white horse that the world was very still. He stared out of his dream. Besides the little noises of their horses and equipment, the whole great valley kept the brooding quiet of a painted scene. Before him went his master and his fellow, each intently leaning forward to the left, each impassively moving with the paces of his horse. Their shadows went before them, still, noiseless, tapering attendants, and nearer a crouched, cool shape was his own. He looked about him. What was it had gone? Then he remembered the reverberation from the banks of the gorge.